This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, home of the best tasting protein powder out there. Don't forget to mention the FitCast when you place your order. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 160. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me this week is Jonathan Fass of AcceleratedStrength.com. What's up, John?
Good afternoon, Kevin.
Good afternoon indeed, John. And also we have Lee Peel of LeePeel.com and also BodyByEats.com.
What up, Kevin?
Sprinkled a little extra in there for you, Lee.
I appreciate that.
So we are back. It's we did have an episode midweek last week, episode 159. So if you came to this episode and you're wondering why did they skip last week, it's there. Go back to 159, listen to it. It's about an hour and 10 minutes of Lee and I discussing Destination Abs, and then about 45 minutes of John and I doing off topic.
Yeah.
Until John fell asleep.
Pretty much.
It's like, screw it, I'm going to bed.
I'm out.
So let's jump into some FitCast-related stuff real quickly. Just wanted to give a shout-out to Ray, who I saw at the Perform Better Business Seminar hosted by Alan and Rachel Cosgrove this past weekend. It was always good to meet fans of the show at seminars, and, of course, it's great to see guys like Anthony Reyna of the Strength Coach Podcast, Rivalry Podcast, and obviously you saw, Cass was there. I got some guys from CP and Perform Better guys. It's good. I bought some extra bands. I bought some more of those jump stretch bands or mini bands. I forget what the name of them are because they're on sale because it's a special seminar price. Okay, no feedback from that. Anyways, that's what I kept going on. Okay, oh, that's awesome.
That's great, Kevin. The bands, they're amazing.
They are, and I mean, like, they were $10 a piece. I'm like, what up?
That's a good deal.
Yeah, go to a Perform Better seminar, buy some stuff. And I was kind of mad because they didn't have any. I wanted a. I keep saying I wanted a 28 or a 32 kilogram kettlebell, even a 38, because all I have right now is I think the biggest one I have right now is a 28, which is about 61 pounds or something. And I wanted a bigger one. I'm like, man, it would be nice to not have to pay shipping and also get a discount on it. But lo and behold, they did not have one, sadly.
Thanks.
See, that's feedback. Thank you.
That's
to the rhythm of the show. Destination Abs update. I had the last 2 weeks I've been taking pictures on Wednesday, but I'm going to take a picture probably tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Probably. As long as I can get someone to take
the
picture.
Is there a reason?
No, I mean, I just haven't been able to get someone to take the picture on Monday mornings before I went to work. That's why I've...
Gotcha.
We've been...
Well, that's why I asked, because there is the reason. You just told me.
Yeah. Now
and that's feedback, Kevin.
It is feedback. Thank you. and things are going well. Things are continuing. I am continuing to lose weight, believe it or not. I don't know what else I can really add to that.
You're doing good. It's one of those things. You just got to grind in. You got to do the motions, and you got to go through the work. This is the boring stuff that people don't want to do, you know?
Yeah, we did get some feedback on the FitCast.com.
Yes, about marathon training and fat loss. Just my favorite topic ever.
Well, let's discuss it a little bit. You know, that's why we have the comment section at the FitCast.com. We will acknowledge what people are up to. And let me just pull this up really quickly. So we got a couple comments. One of them was from First Jimmy saying that I'm a fat loss machine, and it's all thanks to Leppel Hill. I think he got that wrong, though. But we got a comment from Sally. Said, Kevin, I think you should change it up and train for a half marathon. Why not? You can eat twice as much and still lose weight. You can eat way more carbs. It's an amazing feeling to say you finished a half marathon, and it would give you much more experience in dealing with clients who don't always want to just put on muscle but have other athletic goals like running or a triathlon. You can share your experiences and be accountable to the listeners of the podcast. Like your at-home workout, running is something that you don't need to go to the gym for. Just walk out the front door. Maybe wait until the spring when it's warmer or after this phase of Destination Abs, but I guess I'm challenging you to run a half marathon. Look forward to hearing your excuses next week on the podcast.
Well, called you out.
You know what? Here's my excuse. Running sucks. I don't want to run. I'm not an athlete. I don't have any aspirations to run. And I do know how to deal with clients in terms of performance. I work at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning.
Oh.
So I don't mean to like drop a bomb on you, Sal, but we do work with some athletes there. And I just, that's something I don't want to ever run, ever. Like, I have no aspirations to, like, the most I ever want to run is A, if I'm, like, getting chased, or B, I'm playing basketball. Maybe if I went into a basketball league, I would do a little bit more cardiovascular work. But, you know what, I like to push a sled, I like to do med ball circuits, I like to do slideboard. That stuff, you know, it's short, it's more fun, and it's really cool when you push a sled or you pull a sled that has like 10 plates on it. It looks way more hardcore than throwing on a nice new pair of Nikes and, you know, jogging shorts.
Oh, you just insulted the runners.
Not all the runners. I'm not saying running is bad. I did not say that. I'm saying that's not, that's just not me. And it just takes too long. I don't like as much as
I don't run either. I mean, just for the record, I don't run either. I'm not good at it. I'm not made for running. Running is not something that I'm good at. So, I mean, I understand.
Well, as much as we love exercising, right? We don't like to hang out in the gym all day. You want to get in and out. You want to figure out the most efficient way to do your workouts.
Yeah, I'm very efficient with my training. And I like to run when playing sports.
Yeah,
when
that's what I'm
sports.
Saying.
Like, I like short bursts of activity. I like more sprinting exercises and things like that. Like, I like that kind of stuff. But I can't do, like, steady running. That's not something I can do. Like, you know, it's just mechanically and emotionally not something that works for me.
We got one more question, or one more comment from
but
Brad.
Shouldn't we address why I think the marathon training and the fat loss is not
Lee, why wouldn't those two go together?
I'm just saying, well, you know, when it's a pet peeve of mine, actually, like when people say you can eat twice as much and you can lose weight, and it's like, well, yeah, you're creating more of an expenditure, but you're also creating more of a taxing to your system. And it's the last time that if you have to restrict, you know, like for example, like you're in some sort of competitive sports or there's a particular reason that you need to restrict, then, you know, it's what it is and it has to happen. But if you don't have to restrict for marathon training, it is very taxing on the body. It's aggressive to the body. It's not only, you know, physically demanding an energy expenditure, it's, you know, the pounding on like the joint. And I would actually like to hear what John had to say on that behalf. It's just, in my personal opinion, it's the last time that you should decide to become, you know, all gung ho into fat loss. You know, if you happen to create a small deficit, that's one thing. But to have it be, oh, my ultimate fat loss goal and marathon training at the same time, it's just not something I like. I think it's, you know, a really bad time to create a deficit in the body when you need so much recovery.
Well, just an aside to that, you know, Rachel, I think maybe Alan talked about this when he was on last time, but when Rachel Cosgrove was training for her triathlon stuff, she didn't get leaner. She actually put on weight.
Yeah, I remember reading that article.
That was an article. I
think it's the basis of her book. I haven't read it yet, but I remember reading her article on Figure Athlete that she wrote about that. And
Well, you know, most people, and I know this has been cited at least in gymnastics, but so I can't say that this is true of every other sport, but if we look at, I was recently doing something on a paper on gymnastics at work, and when we talk about maximizing performance, people don't always apply that properly. It's maximizing performance is lean body mass when compared to strength and power, but it doesn't mean the lightest you can get with the most power, because at least in the case of gymnastics, which is certainly an explosive type of sport, and depending on the you know, if it's a floor exercise, it can last for a decent amount. We're not talking about an endurance training, but you have to have a certain amount of stamina. It is not the leanest, lightest performer winning, and they've shown a correlation of body mass to performance, and there's a point where as you get leaner, your performance actually decreases. Hmm. So I would at least begin to suggest that it's possible that may also have some carryover to other sports as well. And if you kind of read into it a little bit, there's probably a little bit of logic there. I mean, if you're getting down so lean that you're losing a certain amount of muscle, or you're losing a certain amount of storage for continued performance, then that would decrease your overall ability, even though your power to weight ratio may improve. So, I mean, I would agree. I mean, I think people are taking athletics, you know, marathon training is athletics, you know, whatever else, you know, strongman stuff is athletics, and yeah, they're trying to use them to lose weight because the athletes that engage in these activities are typically very lean. I don't think that that's a wrong thing to do. I mean, exercise is exercise to some extent, but we do have to look at it, like you said, and say, all right, what am I using this for? Because if I'm trying to run a marathon so that I can lose weight, is that the best way to do it, everything else being put aside? Now, if you happen to just enjoy running, then go and do it. No problem with that. But if you think like, well, I'll have to run a marathon in order to lose this last bit of body fat, that may or may not be true. And if that's the case, then let's examine that further and see what else might be available.
Yeah.
Or what combination of things.
Absolutely. And if you look at research, especially in elite athletes, which when you get to the point of doing a lot of training like that, elite athletes who have years, I mean, you know, usually from childhood type conditioning, and you see the kind of disorder eating that they have and the kind of strain that their bodies take on recovery time. And these are people that are doing this their entire lives and are basically built to do these kind of things, and the kind of repercussions they have from deficit eating. There was some great stuff that came out of a recent conference in Norway, I believe, that was through the Department of Exercise and Sport Sciences. But it talked a lot about the psychology and disorder eating patterns and the effects of fatigue on elite athletes who are trained to do these kind of things. And when you see the kind of things that they have as repercussions, if you apply that to someone who comes into it, you know, completely unconditioned, likely with even more possible mechanical problems, and you throw in like the whole ball of wax, and you're trying to say, okay, I'm going to try and do elite performance, not having had the conditioning and without the aid of nutritional recovery. To me, that dispels a problem, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen or be a bad thing, but it sets up the cards in a way that I don't think that they need to be set up. You know, it's in my opinion, it's asking for trouble. Yeah. So.
Gotcha. I hope that, you know, explains that. So, and again, you know, totally, I have trained people that like to run, and I have no problem with it, as long as you're healthy enough to do it.
Yeah, I think also we're looking at too. We, you know, a lot of times when we have these discussions, where you read them on forums or whatever, it's an entire approach. It's what do you want to look like, you know, at the end of your 3 months, 6 months, whatever your time frames may or may not be. Mm-hmm. If you want to look a little stronger, you know, if you're interested in muscle mass, that doesn't mean you can't run, but it means that you have to look at your training a little bit differently. If you want to look like a marathon runner or a competitive marathon runner, then in a sense, do what they do.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But if you're trying to do something else, then that may not be the best way, even though it may be arguably a good way to lose some weight. So you have to kind of decide for yourself what type of body are you hoping to achieve? What type of physical abilities are you hoping to achieve? Let's not forget for anything that you are what you train. So if your goal is to lose weight, but you still want to retain muscle, then putting the focus of your training in long, steady state aerobic type of activities might help you to get one, but won't help you to get another. Mm-hmm. And you have to consider that. So I don't know that people, maybe the listeners of our podcast do, because they may have a little bit more, access to information. But I think a lot of people lose that point. They don't, people still overwhelmingly look at a number on a scale as the definition of their success or failure. And it just doesn't speak to anything else that you may or may not be able to achieve in the time that you're giving. So, running a marathon to lose weight is great, unless you don't want to run a marathon to lose weight.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Then we're going to be right back. We're going to ask Lee what's up with her latest podcast, and we're going to dive into the mailbag. We will be right back. All right, Lee, what up?
What up?
What, Lee, you podcast, what up? That's probably one of the most entertaining podcasts you've ever put together.
Thank you.
There's stories. There was suspense. There's suspense. To be continued. Like, you're planning a sequel, obviously.
I am planning a sequel. And, it's funny because I get more questions sent into my podcast that have absolutely nothing to do with fitness and training. And I'm having a hard time weeding out the ones that actually have to do with, like, weight loss and stuff like that. I mean, people are writing me in such weird stuff. It's not bad. It's just weird. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not related to, I guess, my field of expertise. I don't even know what my field of expertise is, but it's not related to anything that I research or find. But, people wrote in, like, massively, and they're like, they liked the last two things about the dating and the me jumping out at the hillbilly. So, I don't know. Maybe I should just change my whole format. Maybe I should just leave the Fitcast to fitness and just start answering questions about the relationship.
Well, you know what my thoughts are on the subject. I sent you an email immediately after I got home after listening to it.
It was awesome.
Lee Peel can work some magic.
That's
so
true.
Men, send your emails in.
But
at least keep it like one third, because I love that. Like, that
I know,
just...
I am. I'm going to make sure that there are some just really just out there kind of things. But the girl wrote me. She actually wrote me, and she said that she talked to the guy. And I know that
she's not dead.
No, she's not dead. Thank God. Because I got off and I was like, maybe I shouldn't have given her that advice. I don't know.
And you see on the news, like, 2 days later, some woman is missing.
Oh, God forbid.
Oh, man. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's been fun. It's been fun. And like I said before, I'm going to start doing traveling ones and, eventually.
Oh, no, you did not mention that.
I did too.
You mentioned
you were
it to
opening
me.
Your laptop.
Oh, you mentioned it. Oh, yeah. You mentioned it to
me. This is what Kevin did. Can John, I did the show, right? And on the very first thing I said, I have like official Fitcast business, and I have to say what up to Terry in Scotland, because Alan sent me a message when he was in Scotland. He was like, oh, you have to say hi to like Terry when you're on. And I was like, okay. So I say hi to Terry or whatever. Last night, Kevin sends me an email, and he's like, oh, when you're on the podcast, make sure to say hey to this Terry guy from Scotland, and like gives me a name. And I was like, Kevin, like, I did it on the show. I did it on the show. And he was like, oh, yeah. He was busy opening his laptop. He wasn't even listening to me the whole entire show. Not one bit.
Ask me something. I listened.
Whatever. You didn't listen. I can't even figure out the words that are clean to call you right now.
Lee, I give you borderline naked pictures of me every week. I will take one. I'm going to take one and just box a brief for you this week.
Oh, okay. That makes it right.
This is going to end. Maybe
scintillating material that you heard here first.
Yep.
And we talked about the George Costanza. We might pull that off.
Look, I expect that. I expect that at the very end of your journey.
Done.
At the end of your journey, I want a George Costanza picture.
Deal.
What about the Hooters outfit?
That's true. That's the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have that. All right. Let's go to the mailbag. First question that we have comes from Christy. She says, hey guys, what up from Australia? Can we talk about poop? I know it's not everyone's favorite topic, but it's so darn important, especially when it's an issue.
No.
What?
That was like the understatement of the year. It's like, I know it's not popular, but it's just so darn important, that whole bowel regularity thing.
Well, we're going to talk about this a little bit because, you know, it's like one of those things, like, people don't want to talk about it. Especially when it's an issue. I've had digestive problems since I can remember. Tried all manner of things, but still, struggle and confusion continues. I had an eating disorder when I was younger, and I abused laxatives quite a lot, which I know hasn't done anything for my strength of my movements. So yes, the issue here is lack of. These days, I eat better than anyone I know in terms of getting enough fiber, water, and all that stuff that's supposed to move things along. Long ago, I was led into a natural health world looking for solutions, and now am so overwhelmed with talk of yeast, candida, I hope I said that correctly, fungus, parasites, and all the other manner of things you don't want to think about that may be affecting my system. I've heard varying opinions of colonics and enemas, help or hindrance, so I ask ye scholars of FitCast, what is one to do? I would love to hear the realistic approach to solving digestive issues, what to do, what not to do, what to worry about, and what to pass off as quackery. Rock on, Christy. All right, I read this question, but Lee and I are going to attack this from both sides. I'm going to attack you because I've had a lot of history with this myself ever since back in high school. Like, literally in high school, they put me on what at the time was prescription Miralax. But now that's an over-the-counter thing. I don't know if it's still the same base product. But anyways, there's a couple things here, Christy. First off, for people who out there who don't know, like when you abuse those laxatives, you're actually going to get a reduce in the amount of that active bacteria, or those active cultures that you're always looking for on yogurt, in your intestines. So that's going to cause an issue, and that's why, you know, people out there are now throwing extra probiotics, like the Pearls, for example. Oh man, I was going to give a shout out to the brand I use, but I don't think I have the box with me. But it's just Pearls, so you can get them from Amazon. First thing on that note, those haven't been helping me too much in terms of, you know, my bout with this. So even using like 3 times the recommended dosage, and we'll talk to Lee about that in a minute. In terms of, you know, what is considered healthy, I forget who, it was at a seminar, and Mike Boyle came back and talked about this in the meeting, or I think it might have been someone else, and even a third person was talking to me about it the other day, but talking about how, like, you should go from, like, your wrist to your elbow, like, that's how long your bowel movement should be. And it should be in like a curly spiral fashion to, if you're healthy. And you know, obviously that's not the case with you, Christy, or in my case, let's just be real with this. Like it's like, you know, you literally get to the point where it's like hard, it's, you know, dry, for the most part, and it doesn't come out easy. And that's why, you have those issues. And I think part of the reason that I'm in this position today is like, yeah, my doctor put me on laxatives, like probably not the smartest thing to do. And you know, that's put me a couple steps back to where I am right now. And same thing with me, Christy, we're very much in the same boat where, yeah, I had, have tons of, you know, broccoli, peppers, green beans, lettuce, eat tons of, you know, vegetable fiber in you, and even using, fiber, is it Fiber Blend from Vitamin Chopley?
Yes.
And using Fiber Blend on Lee's recommendation. And that helped a little bit, but all in all, I don't have any experience with the colonics or enemas. You know, sometimes enemas, you know, sometimes stuff needs to get done, you know, if you're in pain and stuff like that. Luckily, I haven't gotten that bad. I think that's... I really don't have an answer for you. I myself am looking for that answer, and I still haven't found it. Cassandra Forsyth is kind of in the same boat. And, you know, nothing has been found that really gets the, the plumbing working as efficiently as it should, I guess. And there's things out there, this glutamine that you can try that has been shown to help with the digestive process, and you know, all you can really do is cover all your bases. One of the other things I saw is, you know, if you're drinking ice cold water all the time, again, I don't know how much of a, you know, real issue this might be or how much of an effect it might have, but you know, all day I'm drinking water that's literally ice cold, and I don't have as much hot tea as I used to have, and you know, that could be something that is a connection with this as well. But I didn't expect to talk about this much, but I'm going to pass it off to. I'm not trying to take it as like a joking matter. Like this is like a big deal. It's, you know, it's gotten to the point where, you know, maybe it's time I go back to the gastroenterologist or whoever it was that I saw like 5 years ago now, and be like, yeah, like, what do you guys got now? Like, do you actually have something that isn't going to give me side effects, isn't supposed to be prescribed to women? Like, they had me on something called Zelnorm 2. It was originally only for women. And I'm like, no, I'm not taking this crap.
Okay. Well, let me just throw it out at you online. Is there a distinct difference, Kevin, when you say are eating, like, let's say you have like one of your like Christmas Thanksgiving days, right, where you like really gorge on like a lot of food, you have like a lot of carbohydrates and stuff like that, how is it then?
Better.
Okay, so let me just kind of move away from that. Like, on the one hand, like, let me give like a basis of like the digestive system, if you will, or not the digestive, but this system that it works in. Like, you have various different processes. Like, a lot of people think you're just supposed to take fiber. And I know that we've talked about this before. I mean, this isn't the first time we touched on this in the FitCast, but I'll go into it again regardless. Like, it's not just fiber. It's not just fat. It's not just water. It's not just your nervous system. It's all of them combined. And if there is one thing off within that chain of command, it is going to affect the regularity of how you do it, your inflammation, you know, whether or not you're having like hemorrhoidal issues. I mean, there's so many things that play a role and affect this. The biggest thing that I have seen help people when they're having digestive issues is to make sure that not only are they getting a decent amount of fiber and a decent amount of fat and things like that, but they're also just getting enough food. And particularly in carbohydrates, and usually it's in fast acting carbohydrates, because, you know, especially people who are very into like aggressive weight training, drink a lot of caffeine, or, you know, are into a lot of natural based stimulation, the only thing that really gets their, you know, sympathetic nervous system like rip roaring going is to have like a high load of like refined carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is like just simply like eating like a lot of sugar that can allow someone to trigger the system to start flowing and get everything moving.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because, you know, a lot of this stuff did start as I became healthier too, or, you know, stopped going to the gas station and picking up a bunch of candy and soda on the way home from school.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes it easier. You know, you don't find people that eat a lot people that eat a lot, and especially eat a lot of like, you know, can eat a lot of refined foods or whatever. You don't usually find that they have a problem going to the bathroom. You find that they might have a problem with inflammation in their bowels, mm-hmm. or they might have a problem with hemorrhoids, and they go a lot. And when they go, it's incredibly foul or what have you. But usually there's not an actual problem with going, mm-hmm. versus the other side of people who are restrictive in their diet. Usually eat like just a lot of vegetables and fruit, not as much whole grains and things like that. And, you know, try and stay away from quote unquote refined sugars or refined carbohydrates, will have problems with constipation and pain when they go. Mm-hmm. And it's like the flip of things. So it's about finding like that middle ground. While you're dieting right now, it's going to suck. Like, anyone who is in a dieting phase, or people who bounce a lot from dieting, and find that they go back and forth between that, are going to have more bowel related issues, because one, there's less food, there's less stimulation from carbohydrates, there's less fiber, there's less fat, there's less of all the things that it takes to make it a complete process anyway. And I'm not saying that someone shouldn't go to the doctor, by the way. I'm not a doctor, et cetera. Please go to your doctor and get things checked out. Yeah. But in a very common sense realm, you're not taking in as much in your system. You're not giving as much of a stimulation. And when that happens, when you're overly restrictive anyway, it makes the problem worse. when you restrict carbohydrates for someone who has stimulation problems with moving their bowels, it makes things worse. So for some people, it may be as simple as, okay, I already eat like carbohydrates. I already eat these things, but I don't eat any fat and I have bad bacteria in my gut. Putting in some simple yogurt and some almonds may help them to use the bathroom better. But for someone else who's like, you know, okay, well, I only eat protein and vegetables, and maybe I have a little bit of fruit every once in a while, they can have all the fat and the fiber they want, but they're not perhaps getting the glucose stimulation that they need in order to start to send things through with their nervous system. Like, you never know exactly what the cause is, so you have to really look at your situation and what you're doing, what you're eating, what you're not eating, that could cause the effect. And that doesn't even mean that it's going to solve the problem anyway. There could be an underlying based health issue, you know, inflammatory bowel syndromes. There can be all kinds of things that are going on, you know, bacteria. And I do think that glutamine is good. It helps heal the gut, but that's just one step of the process. You know, you can have a healthy gut and still have, you know, a problem with pushing it through because lack of food or because of, you know, lack of fat, things like that. So it becomes a very big puzzle thing. And if you just try and examine the pieces of the puzzle and test things out, you know, like I tell people, like, eat a crap load of, like, you know, sugar, you know, just like kill off a box of cereal. And if you don't go poop from eating like some Captain Crunch, then it may be like another issue. But if you see that all of a sudden, like, everything's flowing and everything's fine, it may be that you need a certain kind of a stimulation that, you know, only carbohydrates can induce, and you can look into substitutes from that. So, you know, I know it's kind of a long rant, but it isn't just a one answer thing. You know, it's multiple angles that you're looking at when you're trying to solve a digestive disorder problem. Mm-hmm. From, you know, from nutrient variety to, you know, the way your nervous system works. But if you try and kind of tackle those angles and then look at when it's worse, you know, is it really, really bad when you're dieting, then it just means that likely you're already kind of deficient in these things. You're more sensitive to it. And your span of time may go from, instead of 1 to 2 days, to 3 to 4, you know, days. And when you're doing your high days, make sure to see if you can have like a period of time where you take maybe 300 calories and have it come in from a very, you know, refined sugar source. You know, you can do it from around your workout so that it's fueling, and you can kind of see if that helps stimulate. But yeah, with someone like you, you know, you already shoot yourself with caffeine, you know, you train very hard, you do all these things that are already stimulating to that part of your nervous system. It probably takes something like really high refined sugar to really make the big bang happen because of the way your body's set up. Should it be like that? Could it change if your health is better in a certain way? Perhaps. Mm-hmm. But that's where like a doctor would come in and tests would come in and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I mean, that's just, it's very, very, very like armchair, you know, digestive tract system, if you will. But I think that that's what I've seen the most. And I think that looking at all those angles are the things that work the best for people. So just if you're having those issues, always, yes, go to a doctor, but look at the things that make it easier. Look at the things that make it worse and try not to get caught up in the dogma of like, oh, well, if I eat clean, these things will be better. If I make sure that I'm not getting, you know, an artificial sweetener, or if I make sure that I'm not doing this or doing that, or it must be my yeast. It must be my good bacteria, my bad bacteria. It's like, yes, these things can play a role, but at the end of the day, if you're not eating any food, you're not gonna, nothing's coming out. Or if you're not, you know, if you're not eating any sort of, you know, carbohydrates that's going to bind to things, it's not going to come out. I mean, the reason that, you know, we have Kellogg's is because of, you know, the man couldn't poo and therefore cereal was born. So like, you know, you have to like look at these very like logical things and what can help stimulate. So try some just really simple fixes of eating more or of messing around with your carbohydrate intake mixed with fiber and fats, and you may see a change to the reader and to other people that are listening. You know? So yeah.
That was a wicked answer.
So.
And you know, I think something that was kind of underlying that answer that I think is really important to point out too, and I think I hope we try to do a good job of that, but a lot of times listeners are looking for zebra answers. They're looking for the weird thing that's going to solve their problem. You know, it's like, well, maybe you're waking up 30 minutes too early, and if you wake up 30 minutes later, everything will be better. You know, like weird, weird zebra answers. And when I say zebra answer, I mean, look at the horses first, corral your horses. And get everything that makes sense first, And then if you're still having these problems, then chase zebras. Chase the weird stuff that maybe hasn't been taken into an account yet. But I thought that that was a great answer, just, you know, from the standpoint of a nutritional assessment, just saying, you know what, if all this stuff is put together and you're still having problems, then let's try to find some weird stuff that maybe isn't going on. But cover your bases first. So I thought that was pretty, pretty wicked, personally.
Thank you.
Yeah. Next question.
Actually, I'm gonna throw. Actually, no. You can go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
You want to grab it from Will?
Please.
Okay. Will in New Jersey wants to say, "No, hey guys, I was wondering if you could recommend."
That's the wrong question.
Oh, you make it.
Where are you? How are you getting Will in New Jersey? The next question's from Terry.
Yeah. I was
because I was scrolling down. My bad. Player. Terry wanted to know, hey guys and gal, love the podcast. So for the listeners, that'll just be a little something to look forward to later on in the FitCast. that other question. Yeah, I was scrolling down looking at what we got coming up. The holidays
just
are coming in.
Just ask the question.
Yeah, the holidays are coming in. I stress a lot, Kevin, about what to give my clients. I usually make a high-protein trail mix and package it in a pint-sized container with the recipe attached. It is popular and my clients love it. However, I have clients now going on 3 years. I'm looking for something different. Any suggestions? What do each of you do for your clients? Thanks, Terry. P.S. I'm mentioning the word boobs so that I might win a t-shirt. Good strategy, Terry. You'll definitely win the Pink Dumbbell Award if you don't win a t-shirt.
Absolutely.
So we got to make sure to put that in this week.
Mm.
I thought this was a very interesting question because I just, you know, I came to that realization that, yeah, I got to get my clients gifts, but thankfully Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning is getting all of our clients gifts. So
nice.
That's handled, they're getting them like really sick long sleeve Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, like shirts, like they're kind of like the throwback things you'll see for like hockey teams.
Oh, okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's really cool. Cool.
Yeah, and oops. Hopefully, no one. I think only one of my clients listens to the show, so hopefully that won't be a problem. I think that's a great question. I'm interested to see what Lee and Jonathan have to say. That's all I'm going to say. Lee.
Okay. Well, I go first. I'm actually very big into gift giving, so I try and give more personal gifts. To be honest, like I try not to go so much with the generic route. So a lot of the gifts that I'll give my clients is something that's very relevant to conversations we've had or to things that they do. And it's never anything crazy. I mean, it's a $5 to $15, you know, range, and it just kind of, you know, varies from there. But, so I'm really big in giving a gift that a person it's very relevant to them. But, if you're looking for kind of more generic gifts, and I actually like the question, it kind of got me thinking like, oh, what would be some kind of generic gifts? I think gift cards, I know it sounds like kind of, you know, really like a cheap way to go, but, you know, to supplement shops or, you know, to sporting goods stores, stuff that encourages them to stay on track and to kind of, you know, keep in mind of a, you know, fitness gift, if you will, or a health gift, if you will. It could even be just, you know, a gift card to more of a health food store that has maybe more variety of, like, you know, foods or fresher items and stuff like that. And it's simple, but you could definitely do that. Making things is never bad. There's lots of like protein brownie and cookie recipes. You can enlighten them on how they can get more protein in their diet by, like, you know, baking them something that tastes good and, you know, it allows them to know like different avenues they could go. Training mix CDs. If you want to get really more personal, you could make them like, you know, mixes of music that they might like to train to, or even like make a playlist through iTunes for their iPod if they're more into like, you know, MP3 things. And that can kind of, you know, make you more personalized with them as well. You know, say, hey, I like this kind of music. It's good to train to. So, I mean, those are just a few things, you know, to just kind of think about. But in general, if while you're training and you're talking to them, you know, you hear a little something, they might like this or they might like that. And you can always just kind of make it a little bit more personal as well.
John, do you have any other suggestions? Or
I think that what Lee said was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's pretty rock solid.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I'm horrible at gift giving on the holidays. So, but yeah, no, I thought that was pretty spot on. Stuff that you think will help them in their endeavors and things like that, or help them be more committed to their their workouts or their nutrition diet plans, I think, are pretty good too. So, you know, you can get them workout journals or food journals and stuff like that. But yeah, I thought that was pretty solid, and I suck at that. So,
all right. Well, John, question for you. Hey guys, I am a ROTC cadet training for the Army Physical Fitness Test, or the APFT, and have a couple questions for you. The APFT consists of three events: as many push-ups as you can do in 2 minutes, as many sit-ups as you can do in 2 minutes, and a 2 mile run. So far, I've been doing pretty well in the test, but I'm running into a dilemma. It seems that from where I am right now, if I want to improve in one event, I have to sacrifice another. For example, if I want to perform well in the run, then I diet and do a lot of aerobic exercise, which seems to prevent me from improving my push-ups at all. Conversely, if I start taking in the calories I need to improve my strength, my body fat starts creeping up, which slows me down on the run. So the question I have for you guys is twofold. First, how do you lose fat without losing strength? And second, how do you create, say, a 20-week periodization program for push-ups that takes into account the need to carry a low body fat on competition day? The push-up program I've been using for the last 7 weeks or so is the 100 push-up program. You can Google it and you'll find out what it is, which quite frankly failed miserably. So any help you could give me would be great. As a reference for you, I'm around 6'1" and 175 pounds, probably around 10 to 15% body fat, just guessing. And currently I'm able to do 82 push-ups, 106 sit-ups, and run a 12-minute two-minute mile. Ideally, I would like to do 110 push-ups, 115 sit-ups, and a 11:30 run time. Thanks, Nate.
Interesting question. I think some of the premise of the question is a little bit faulty, though. When you talk about strength versus endurance, if you look at the nature of the testing, all of it is endurance. It's muscular endurance and then aerobic endurance. So how many push-ups you can do versus what is the total weight that you can press is two very different things. So right now you are kind of – you don't have to sacrifice as much as you may think. The quick answer to how do you maintain strength by losing while you're losing body fat is just by lifting heavy, basically low volume, heavy weight while you're doing other things to lose body fat. Primarily that would come out of the diet. But in this situation, I don't think that that's necessarily what it is. And that actually throws back to what we were talking about in the very beginning of the FitCast. It's maximizing performance is the balance between weight loss and overall, you know, body weight level versus strength. And sometimes it's not entirely the one direction. So this kind of falls into the category of thinking you have to be a marathon runner and therefore you can't do any push-ups. I don't think that that's the case here. I think that you have to run a quick run and 12 minutes for 2 miles is not so bad. That's a pretty fast pace. Really, you know, So that's a pretty quick pace.
That's like what we had for our basketball team in college.
Yeah. So it all of those numbers right now are pretty good. You want to improve on it, that's great. But right now already, I think, you know, I don't know what your peers are doing. And obviously it's, you know, you're on another level when you're training for the armed forces. But so far it looks pretty good. My suggestion is I looked at the program and it's actually pretty good. I mean, it's a periodized program. I think one fault is that you're already doing 82 push-ups, but you're starting in the third category, which says 25 or more. So there's a huge difference between what you're maximally able to do versus what they're giving you. So there are two ways that I would go about it. Either you can externally load yourself, meaning that if they're having you start, I think it was like 15, 20 push-ups, whatever it is, and your max is 82, then you need to, you know, put the weight, your pack on your back or something externally.
Chains.
Chains or whatever. Well, whatever he has access to. I don't know what he has. They definitely
you don't have chains in your like closet.
I don't know what he's got. He's in the armed forces.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean he's in ROTC, so I don't know what access he may or may not have. But I would argue that why bother using chains if he's a military cadet and they've got to run with those packs on their backs.
True.
I forgot how much, you know, it's like 60 pounds or something,
if I recall.
Like then why not train with that? I mean, it makes it more specific to what he's going to be doing anyway. But whatever it is, if you externally load yourself, you'll probably find more success in what they're giving you. However, since you're already obviously surpassing what most people are going to come in with into that program, because they're looking at people between like 5 and 20 push-ups to start. What I would say is you have to take the math out a little bit further. So if your max is like 82, then let's say you triple what they're saying. You know, if they're the highest volume starting point is like 20 or 25, then triple whatever their recommendations are, or double them at least, so that you are getting some challenge out of those suggested rep ranges, because they're going at like, you know, do 10 reps for your first set or do 15 reps for your first set, and this guy's doing 80. So what's 15? That's not even a warm up. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say. You have to adjust the type of system that you're doing in order to be more aggressive to your needs, and I think that would probably work out a little bit better. And then as far as everything else, I don't think that that you really have to worry about it. Continue at your runs. You can do a day of what's called fartlek training, which is randomized running. So it might be, you know, you're going to sprint some, you're going to interval some, you're going to long distance some. You want to switch it up a little bit rather than just saying, okay, I'm going to run 2 miles in steady state. So you can still work with intervals to push your ability to run faster and to have a greater cardiac reserve, although I doubt that that's a problem at this point. And then, just adjust the training to your needs. But I think that the training was relatively sound, and I don't know that you're going to find too much better, especially free on the internet. So that would be my advice.
Nice. Yeah.
You can also use tons of variations. You can also do feet elevated push-ups, like so many things. Just, you know, I understand he's going for endurance, John, but I'm just saying variation won't hurt.
Well, variation, I think then we get into the issue of what's does he feel is holding him back. At 82
pushups,
I don't know that anything is holding him back other than just muscular endurance. I mean, is it possible that his, you know, triceps need a little bit work relative to the, you know,
maybe a little bit more
pectorals?
Core strength
Yeah. I mean, maybe, but quite frankly, I mean, 82 pushups is pretty good. So at this point, I think it's probably just more of an endurance issue, which maybe some very baseline strength training could help, but I don't know at that point. I mean, I think it probably just has to do more with he's not. I'll put it this way: I have a patient that's post ACL reconstruction, and he'd had a lot of difficulty achieving his milestone goals for discharge, and we got him there, and I gave him a home exercise program, and he doesn't have access to a gym. So I said, you got to go out. Well, no, first I just gave him a workout program. He came back and he started losing ground again in his strength. And I said, well, what are you doing? And he said, well, you know, I'm using certain weights, but that's all I've got. You know, he's doing everything right. He just doesn't have enough to continue to challenge him. Mm-hmm. I said, go back to Dick's Sporting Goods or wherever you came from. You got to just buy more external loading. You're doing all the right stuff. You're just not giving yourself enough to make it challenging anymore. I mean, that's one of the basic concepts. So for a guy like this, that's doing 82 push-ups, but he's using a program that's designed for someone that at most can do 20 or 30 push-ups, it's just not enough for him. You know, so if he can adjust that program to fit his abilities, I think it's much better. And he can use that external loading if he wants to stay strict to the program. But I'm not quite certain that that's going to do it, because he needs endurance. So he can get more strength out of it that way, but and maybe do like the 100 at the end of that program, but he wants to do 110. So I don't know that the external loading is what's going to do it. He may just need to work with rep ranges that will still be challenging to his endurance abilities.
Gotcha. All right, we're going to try to speed through a couple of these. John, this is going to be a quick one for you. Hey, guys, I was wondering if you could recommend any academic journals that are relatively accessible for those of us that don't have advanced degrees in kinesiology. I have access to journal databases through my school, but most of the journals I've come across tend to be a bit too scientific, and I start to blow out my brain cells. Any info would be great. I'm sure there's more information out there than what the internet and magazine supply. Thanks, Will from New Jersey. And actually, you know what? I'm gonna give this one to Lee first, because she's got her head stuffed in a research book pretty much every time I talk to her. So,
well, you know, since he said that it can be a little too scientific for him, What I would highly recommend, as far as a journal, I think a good journal that's not too bad that goes into some stuff is maybe this, the National the Strength and Conditioning Journal. It's a good journal. It's not too heavy. I mean, you know, it's certainly not like what a lot of things that can be out there. So I think that's a good actual journal. But I think you would probably benefit more from maybe perusing a few blogs, joining, you know, Boyle Strength and Conditioning membership. You know, it's $9.95 a month. And there's a lot of the good thing about something like that is there's a lot of people in the forums having conversations about things. You see how people dissect information as it's coming along. So you can follow conversation about the topics, which can be less dry, and it can help you. It can help educate you a little bit better than, say, just reading the actual studies itself or reading, you know, about connections of muscles or power and all these kind of things. It can be kind of overwhelming for someone who's just getting into the field. So there's also another one, Personal Training on the Net. It's guided towards personal trainers. There's a lot of various recordings. It's hit and miss. I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that's on there, but there's a lot of good stuff that's on there too. So it's one of those things that with trial and error and time, you kind of learn what to trust, maybe what not to trust, or what to look at as more so viable or valuable resources. I like Alan Argon's research review. He breaks down the studies and he talks about them in very more layman terms and helps you understand what's going on. There's stuff in nutrition and in kinesiology about in his journals a little bit. So I think, you know, look at there's a blog called, can't remember, I want to say it's Sports Science. Yeah, the Science of Sports, sportsscientists.com. Mm-hmm. It's a great blog and they break down things. There's so many good, like, kind of membership sites. I'm missing a ton. I'm sure John can maybe throw a few in. But you know, look at Cressy's blog. Look at John's blog. Look at people that are talking about things and put it in more of a conversation format or a blogging format, maybe, if you're having a hard time looking at the actual journals. And who's to say you even have to go that far anyway? You know, you don't have to. It's not something you have to do anyway. But if it's something that you want to kind of ease your way into, start with people who already read it and talk about it and kind of learn from there. So, John, if you have any more resources, you can certainly throw them out, because I'm all blank.
I'm gonna jump in front of John. I'm just saying, Alan Aragon's research review, do it. Done.
Yeah.
Start there. I mean, you can't really do...
The only reason why I didn't pimp it is because it's more about nutrition, and he said kinesiology. So, you know, Alan Argon's review, he does cover some stuff with training. He does
exercise science stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the big bulk of it is a lot about supplementation and nutrition and stuff like that as well.
Fun
so
too.
It is fun, Kevin. I'm just saying, I'm trying to give the guy a ride variety. Cranky.
John, do you have anything like real to add to this, or can we move on? I'm just saying, in terms of time, we're kind of
Me, Kevin, because I thought I had some plenty real stuff, but apparently Kevin without carbs is a cruel Kevin.
Well, Daniel, the next question.
No. I'm putting in my 3 cents. First of all, Strength and Conditioning Journal was going to be the first one that I pimped. What I like about it is basically about strength and conditioning athletes. So if you're a personal trainer, it might have limited information for you. But just looking at the last one, one that was just sitting here, application of post-activation potentiation to the track and field thrower. So you still learn about stuff like post-activation potentiation, which is interesting things and things that you can do as a personal trainer, you know, without necessarily, even if you don't work with track and field. The Training and Conditioning is a free magazine that you can order, and that has some pretty interesting articles on it. It's a lot of athletic training based articles, but it's pretty good, and for free it's just the right price. If you're interested in more like rehab basic stuff, Advance magazines are free magazines. They have it for basically every medical and health field. This one, you know, I obviously get the physical therapist and PT assistants version, and that has some interesting articles in it too. I think I agree with Lee with the idea of blogs, but you do have to be careful. Blogs are people's opinions. Yeah. They're not regulated. If you're going to read someone's blog, read someone that actually is, you know, relatively educated and not just spouting opinion, but has things backed up. The things that I liked about especially Strength and Conditioning Journal, and also the NSCA's Performance Training Journal, which is also free, and that's something you get PDF filed. Those are backed by research, and we've talked before about the levels of research and what is a convincing, you know, a level one research study versus a level five. Blogs are barely level five. I mean, they're not considered to be evidence. So if you're reading a blog from some kind of, you know, PhD or whatever, or it's heavily research based and they've got things that are cited, then that might be at least somewhat of a convincing argument or something you can take a jump off from. But things like, you know, depending on your level of education, you know, forums are fine, but it's written by people that don't typically, you know, work for a living and are educated in that field. So you're getting a lot of hearsay, you're getting a lot of bias, you're getting a lot of, you know, misinformation or half information, even from the best of the forums, although there are some very good ones that are run by very knowledgeable people. But you do have to you have to be wary of the idea that when you're getting people's opinions that are either based on cherry-picked information or based on personal experiences, it may or may not actually be accurate information. So you always have to build your basis through the things that we do know and the things that are research and evidence-based, and then go from there for the answers that we may not have. But don't start in these weird zones where you're, you know, it's like everyone's got a free-for-all and no one's opinion appears to be more relevant than someone else's, you know. So my suggestion would still be to go to those type of more accessible journals first.
Gotcha. All right. Well, the next question from Will, I'm sorry, from Daniel. Again, he was asking for GIFs. I think we covered that the best we could about low-carb GIFs. But he also is very cool that he ordered 50 Liftstrong bracelets to give out to his clients. To pass out.
Cool.
He says, I ordered 50 to pass out, and I will make sure everyone that I know about it that gets one. Thanks for all you guys. Keep up the good work, Daniel. So thanks for the email, Daniel. An awesome thing to do. The next one I want to make sure we get in here. I'm going to jump around a little bit, but this one's for you, Lee. And you know, John and I talked about how I'm, you know, unfortunately we couldn't get to this last week, but it's from Tori. To make a long story short, I was recently diagnosed with a condition known as
ulcerative colitis.
Thank you. That had me on bed rest for a month straight. Then just 14 days ago, I had to have an emergency surgery, total abdominal colonoscopy. Did I get that right?
Colectomy.
Whatever. I don't like these science words. They hurt my head. <Just kidding. laughs> And now I have to deal with an ostomy for 6 months or so before I have to get... Did I screw that one up too, John?
No, you're good.
For 6 months or so before I have to get yet another surgery. Here's my main dilemma. I lost my muscle mass, literally all of it. I went from a lean and muscular 175 to a weak and skinny VAT 149 dude to literal starvation during my long hospital stay. I'm basically looking for any advice and hope you might have for me in terms of getting back to where I used to be. They tell me I can't lift more than 15 or so pounds for another 6 to 8 weeks, so that's even more time I have to miss out on. Is there anything I can be doing in the meantime to start rebuilding? I'd appreciate any advice regarding this. And if there are any coaches or athletes you know who suffer from the same condition I have, I'd really like to contact them if they have any names. This is a new and scary chapter in my life, and I'm looking for all the help and advice I can get. Thanks, Tori. And
An ectomy is a removal of something, so a colectomy would be a removal of the colon, and an ostomy is an opening of the body connecting an organ to like the outside,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah, it's a waste bag kind of thing. Yeah.
Thank you.
you know, I mean, as far as the training, I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. You know, they gave you a recommendation and you need to guide by their recommendations, and I wouldn't even come close. But I will say, and I guess the problem is too, is that nutritionally speaking, you have stuff right now that's not operating on a normal capacity. So this is also in my personal opinion, this is for an RD. This is not for me in any way, shape or form. I couldn't touch this at all. we can just even erase the question or just say good luck, because your body functions different when you're going through something like this. You may digest fat completely differently. I'm not researched on this in any way, shape, or form. So,
well, let's just say, I mean, I want to just get the question out there, you know, for Tori. He's been
it's great to get it out there. I just, you know, really, you know, I would take this time to go talk to an RD, you know, talk to a nutritionist that knows what's going on. I mean, obviously, if you're worried about maintaining mass, try and take in as much protein as you can, mm-hmm. you know, try and do what you can to take in protein. And a lot of times the muscle loss is due to bedridden lack movement. Do what you can to stay generally active. Even if you can't train, that doesn't mean you can't, you know, walk. I don't know what exactly you're cleared to do, but if you're cleared to walk, if you're cleared to do even just, you know, maybe light elliptical work, since it's not as impactful at more of an incline or stair climbing at more of an incline on an actual machine that guides you, it's activity. And it's activity that will stimulate muscles. It's not going to stimulate extreme growth, but it will stimulate you. You know, whenever, like, and I'm sure John can talk about this, whenever someone's in bed rest and even in a coma, they come in, they move their legs, they do things to try and stimulate movement in the body, anything to keep you from being just completely still, because the more still, the more deterioration can happen. So, you know, keep the protein intake high as you can. Talk to your doctors about that. And if you have any protein restrictions, I don't really see why you would given this situation, but I don't know. You may have fat restrictions, and that could affect things. I'm not, you know, because of the discharge that you're having to carry around. So I'm not exactly sure how that could affect things for you. But I guess basically don't, you know, I don't think you have an issue with not staying static. It seems like you're very antsy to get into training, but you can do as much general activity as you can to try and help with things and you know, figure out your diet and watch how your mass is gaining. And if you're, you know, because you're going to probably be more sedentary, you may have to adjust your calories downward a little bit. If you're not moving as much more towards the normal, or you may want to increase it and gain a little mass. I don't know, but it's more than likely to come on as fat mass than it is going to be, you know, as in muscle mass. So I guess talk to them. Don't be afraid to really, really talk to them and be like, look, what exactly can I do? What do you think is smart? What do you think is not smart? Mm-hmm. What do you think I should be able to eat? What do you think I should not be able to eat? What exactly are my restrictions based upon your opinion? And what do you think would be too far? You know, talk to them and say, would going, you know, in any sort of horizontal angle, would it be too far? What kind of load is my limit? You know, really talk to them about what you can do, and don't be afraid to cross-examine them about their information and why, because that's why they're there. And you know, but yeah, keep the protein up best you can. Talk to them about if there's any sort of restrictions with anything that you're doing there. Like, because I don't know if in a situation like this, is the load on the kidney more? And then if so, like, would, you know, I just don't know. And I don't know why it would be, but it makes me nervous. So
I would think that it would, because
you see what I'm saying? Like, I just don't, I don't know.
Because there's also, I mean, I think that there would be alterations in the digestive process because of the removal. And so there could very well be, I would think, restrictions in diet.
Yeah.
And
So I think talk to your RD, you know, in the hospital, you know, or talk to your doctor and be like, hey, do you have an RD I can speak with? You know, do you have someone I can talk with and really go over my diet and find out, you know, what your upper limit of protein intake could be, if it could change with hydration, with movement, you know, and try and investigate it the best that you can. And know, though, that when this is all said and done and when you're healed, you know, you can get back on track. You can start to eat and lift again, and you know, things can move forward. And it may just be a period of time in which that you're having to be weakened, and you will recover. And you know, good luck. And I hate that, you know, I don't really know anything more than that, I guess, but just be really proactive. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it seems, I mean, from some stuff that I'm looking at now, it seems like there's all kinds of issues that can arise at that. So
yeah, quick glance, it was like, hello. You know, everything from how fat to you know, it seems like there's so many things there, and it's not something I've researched in any way, shape, or form.
Fair enough. And Tara would just want to get out there now that we are, you know, I saw some of his stuff on Facebook when he was in the hospital. It just sounds like absolutely a horrible experience. And just stay strong, man, and take your time, and you know, you will get back on your feet eventually.
Absolutely.
A quick question that I'll hit on really quickly. What are some of the DVDs that you all would recommend for non-professionals, just for some people looking to improve their workouts? Also, more specifically, who do you recommend for information on kettlebells from MJ?
Michael Jordan?
Yep.
Cool.
For the kettlebell stuff, Dan John has a really great DVD where he hits on kettlebells that you can get at DaveJaper.com. Definitely check that out. And also Pavel has a couple DVDs, and also Steve Cotter is like the kettlebell guy. Like that's what it, you know, what people kind of know him for. So it's all good stuff. If you want to start out a little bit cheaper, Pavel has a book that's like $17, but the Dan John DVD is also only like $20. It's a fantastic DVD. Definitely check it out. In terms of improving your workouts, it really depends. Alan Cosgrove has a good fat loss DVD where he goes over programming for that. And I think that's about it. Dan, you guys have any quick hits on that?
I remember I haven't seen too many, so I obviously I'm going to be cautious. JC's band training is kind of an old one, but a goodie. It's a goodie. You know, it's kind of more applicable, I think, to the general population. It's band training. It's not too aggressive. I think it's something people could do and simple. There's that one. And then, yeah, I don't know too many videos, so I haven't seen. There's some I could have ideas on, but I don't know their quality.
Gotcha. What do you guys think? Do you think we'll end it there?
Yep.
Sure.
Kind of. We're coming out on the hour and a half mark on the recording, so.
Gotcha.
I think that might be enough for this week. Sorry, guys. I've been recording for the last 2 hours or so. Any questions that we didn't get to this week, though, I will put them in next week's outline. Also, we have quite a bit more Destination App questions that we will try to fit into next week's outline. If you send in a question ever and we didn't answer it, you know, shoot me an email, let me know. And if there is a reason why we didn't answer it, I will send that to you. But it might just be it got lost in the mailbag. It's a big virtual mailbag that we have. It's gigantic. It's infinite.
Almost. It's like Santa Claus is back.
Yeah, it's like if you ever seen the Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Yep,
same thing. All right, well, that is going to do it. Please, as always, go check out John's site at acceleratedstrength.com. You can check out Lee's site at leepeel.com. You can also get her podcast on iTunes as well as the FitCast on iTunes. Submit awesome reviews for both. Would really appreciate that.
We got two new reviews this week.
Did we?
Holla.
Holla.
Good? Positive?
Yeah.
Good. And we have some stuff in the pipeline for you guys. We will have a guest next week. I will find out who that will be by Monday or Tuesday. So if you want to keep updated on that, please subscribe to the newsletter that you can get at thefitcast.com. That's how I keep you guys updated and try to solicit for questions for our guests. And we're going to try to make that a weekly thing as much as possible. So that's it. Again, thanks for listening. Always check out thefitcast.com for the podcast, Destination Abs updates, and let us know if you have any comments by posting them in the comment section. We do look at that, so please do so. Take care, everyone, and have a great week. We will see you next time. Anything, John? Oh, Pink Dumbbell Award?
Yeah, that went to the boobs.
Boobs.
Mentioning boobs. Because she put it out there, and I appreciated her honesty, and and it's always a good starting topic of discussion.
Breast cancer awareness.
Mm. Way to go, Terry.
And any last words, John? You like to finish the show, so I'm going to let you finish it awkwardly.
Thanks, man. Happy Hanukkah.
Agreed. Take care, everyone. See you next time. Hello and welcome to the off-topic discussion for this week's episode. The people that you hear in the background are Lee Peel and Jonathan Bass. What up, John? What up, Lee?
What up, yo?
What up? What up?
So, in terms of off-topic stuff, I don't think there's too much to discuss. I didn't really do too much that was off the topic of fitness and nutrition this past week. I don't know if you guys did much, although I did watch Scrubs, the new Scrubs episode. I didn't even watch Fringe yet, John.
Wow.
It got real, baby. I haven't
watched it. That's pretty big. That's television, let's see, Dollhouse was excellent. It was the second week in a row of excellence. Too bad it's being canceled. But yeah, Perhaps it's what has driven the excellence. So, can't
every
have
time they let Joss take over a show, they finally let him have some power. They just cut him before he can peak.
He might be the new Terminator, though.
That's true.
What happened? True.
The new Terminator movie wants to do. He wants to do it.
Really, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going on in the insides of that show. It started off too slowly, and the only reason I really stuck around was because Buffy was such a brilliant show, and I had faith in what he was going to do, and so was Firefly. But the last 2 weeks have been ridiculous.
Hey, I totally watched. Did I tell you I watched Fast and the Furious on Sunday night last week?
Mm. You watch that every week?
I watched Fast and Furious. I still haven't opened up my Blu-ray copy of Tokyo Drift. I'm waiting for the opportune time to watch that.
Sure.
And what else? And also.
So wait, is that I always get the names confused. Is that the last one? The most recent one?
Fast and Furious is the most recent.
Okay. All right.
Where they brought everyone back together.
And I can't believe. No spoiler, but very sad about.
Well, you saw the cameo from my boy from Tokyo Drift, cool guy that eats stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. When he's I was so stoked about that, actually. Surprisingly excited to see how they met and how they knew each other.
It's time for you to do your own thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, dude. Stop. He eats all day. If you're watching Tokyo Drift, he's eating in every scene.
He's like the dude's all he does is sleep with women and eat.
And he is so effing cool the way he eats food. It's just so laid back. He's like, yeah, dude, I'm chewing food. It's awesome.
Yeah. Tastes good. He doesn't do anything like that.
Speaking of John, speaking of food, I was harassing Lee these last couple of days about, Lee, can I eat some food and I ended up not.
I know. I even told you how you could arrange eating food and you even denied the food.
I did because I'm like, you know what? Let's get this SF done.
Do it.
Nope. Go ahead. I don't know what I was gonna say.
I was gonna say that I did get a chance to listen to you and John. I have to say that I have to bring up two points that I'm absolutely shocked on. One, that you've seen Not Quite Human, because that was my favorite movie of all time.
Nice. Oh, there's a sequel too, Lee.
Oh, I know. Not Quite Human. There's three because there's the one where he goes to college and then there's the weird.
Oh, that's right. He does go to college. Chip went to college. Get it? Chip? Computer Chip?
I'm so okay with not knowing anything that you guys are talking about.
Yeah, and just whatever, John. And they did not lip sync on Kids Incorporated.
No, well, when you watch the video, it looks like, they themselves didn't lip sync, but when they were doing it, it wasn't done live.
No, I agree.
That's what I'm saying.
They actually sang, and I love that show, too.
It's like on Saved by the Bell when they caught together and everyone, they did that choir episode where everyone was in a choir.
Mm-hmm. Tori Spelling's featured in that episode as Violet.
Tori was, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Violet was in a couple episodes.
Yeah, she was in a couple episodes. The poker episode with the doll.
Agreed, yeah. And also the one with the chess game.
Mm.
Yeah, the chess one.
And the hat.
With the Russian, yeah. Mm.
Yes. Johnny about to die.
Mm.
Oh, John, you're going to thank me so much for something that is going to happen to you in the future. I can't be more vague than that.
Wow.
But you're going to, something's going to happen.
Thank you.
And you're gonna be
thank you, Nostradamus.
You're going to be like, Kevin, that was Kevin. And it's the, I mean, I didn't do anything. I just, you know, help someone. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, that made no sense, huh? So anyways,
is it Nostra Kevin or Kevin Damas? What do you think?
I don't know. I kind of like Nostra Kevin.
Nostra Kevin?
Nostra Kevin.
What else do you see in the tea leaves, Nostra Kevin?
No, that's not fun. Why isn't my other Google thing open? This shouldn't be over here. All right, I'm shifting
some windows.
Go rub
your crystal ball and tell me some other stuff.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't have much else. They, you know, they had the video games awards last night, and I got to watch the trailers that came out this morning. New Halo game trailer. Green Day Rock Band, which is kind of interesting after the Beatles.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
And the Force Unleashed too. So new Star Wars game.
Yeah. I just picked up the first one.
Well, the first Force Unleashed?
Yeah.
Oh, how do you like it?
I haven't played it yet. I'm waiting for it to come. It's on back order. You can get it for like $20 on eBay. Not eBay.
Amazon.
Best Buy.
Yeah, I haven't played video games in the last week, so I don't have anything. Actually, no. I did play Wanted last weekend based on the movie.
Oh.
That the one with Angelina Jolie, that one?
Yeah, and they curved the bullets.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Is it fun?
It's all right. It was like, I have a Gamefly account, and they have a sale every winter where they'll have games for like $8. So I ended up buying like 5 or 6 games at $8 a pop, and some which I'll probably never touch, but I mean, they're $8. How can you not buy that? It's like if something's on sale, I usually have to buy it, even if I need it or not. But I don't know. Maybe I'll finish it today. I don't know. I don't know if we'll be able to pull that off or not. Because I feel like there's something important on tonight. Is there anything going on tonight? 24 or something? No.
Mm-mm. Okay. I
don't think so. The Giants game.
Oh, no one cares.
Wow.
I should stop saying, I'm going to do one of those post-its.
Actually. Do you realize how many times I say actually? That's so my downfall.
At least you don't say it actually. Like, I say I can't even say it correctly. It's like people will write in and be like, you can't say things correctly. I'm like, sorry. Sorry, Tom Brokaw.
Oh, no.
I added a new question about Pooply, just to let you give you a heads up. It's actually very related to what I've been talking to you about, so I figured we could talk about it.
Okay.
And it's from Australia.
I guess I should. That's my cue to sign in and actually look at the questions before I answer.
Google Docs.
I have to close out my Facebook page.
You're still looking at that, Lee?
I just, oh no, not really. I was just
right. Oh boy.
Oh, man. All right, I'm looking and I'm reading about the poop now.
Okay. I mean, it's not like it ain't like crazy. I mean, I got some insight. I have some pooping problems.
Well, you know, you can certainly take the reins on these questions.
I'll take a stab at it. Maybe I will, I was trying to think of a poop reference, but I couldn't. Oops. What's that?
You can buy the What Does Poo Say About You book.
John sent me a message that his Skype is messed up because he keeps opening windows. Well, John, that's why you should only have two things opened, a document and Skype. You shouldn't be doing anything else.
I was looking for video game references.
It's like you're trying to install a hard drive
on
a laptop.
To contribute. Yeah, while you're like on air or something.
And Lee, I had to go out to a hardware store and I had to buy it I had to buy like a micro screwdriver to finish the job too.
What?
So
like, on air he started unwrapping and opening up his laptop, and then he started to actually install the hard drive. And I'm just like talking to myself. I'm just talking to myself.
And then I would do this. I would. And then we'll come back and be like, mm-hmm.
Who knows what I could have said? He probably doesn't even know.
I listened to it again. Comments on it were positive. Oh, and well, we should talk about the comments that I got on the FitCast about the Destination App stuff. Some interesting comments this week.
Oh, yeah, I saw the one.
About the marathon stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good times.
All right, any other off-topic stuff? Considering, I don't think we need a 45-minute one this week.
No.
Good job.
I don't even think we needed a 5-minute one.
No.
Good.
Pretty sad.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that will wrap it up. Hope you guys enjoyed the show that we're going to record right now.